Stephen Shingles, violist with Sir Neville Mariner and the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields for Telemann's Viola Concerto in G on KPR. We'll hear the Grand Canyon Suite next hour. How's that for some American music? Also, right after the news, listen for a festival overture on the Star-Spangled Banner by Dudley Buck. And next, Randall Thompson and Frostiana. Because you care, that's why you should donate to KPR today, for unbiased in-depth news, for inspiration, laughs, for thoughtful conversations, and for a more informed life. You are an essential part of the equation. Your contribution equals unparalleled local coverage, captivating storytelling, and a window to the world. Donate at support.kansaspublicradio.org. Go ahead, raise your hand, stand up. Count yourself in and make a difference today. Support for classical music also comes from Eagle's Rest, a locally owned natural mattress and furniture store in Lawrence with heirloom quality furniture by Acorn Ness, Copeland, Cisco Brothers, and Younger. Online at eaglesrestnaturalhome.com. Tom Rawson is the leader now of the Exultate Chamber Choir and Orchestra. Here are seven poems of Robert Frost, set to music by Randall Thompson, and he calls the suite Frostiana on KPR. on their own small label called Exultate. We've just heard the Exultate Chamber Choir and Orchestra, led by Tom Rawson, in a performance of Frostiana, seven poems of Robert Frost, set to music by Randall Thompson. Good morning. This is KPR. Right after the news, and just a little bit, we'll hear the Suite, an old parade tune by Leon Jessel, an Albinoni piccolo trumpet concerto, and right after the news, Dudley Buck's Festival Overture on the Star-Spangled Banner. Keep it right here on KPR. Thanks for joining us for Classics today on Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV, KANV HD1 for the Olsburg, Junction City, Abilene area, and KANQ Chanute, and KansasPublicRadio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Hezbollah launched a barrage of rockets and drones from southern Lebanon into northern Israel this morning. The Iranian-backed group claimed it was partially in response to Israel's killing of a senior Hezbollah commander earlier this week. NPR's Kat Lonsdorf has more from Tel Aviv.
Air raid sirens sounded throughout Israel's north as Hezbollah sent what it called a, quote, squadron of assault drones, along with hundreds of rockets towards several Israeli military bases. Israel says most were intercepted, but shrapnel rained down on the area, causing several fires to ignite and spread in the hot, dry climate. Shrapnel also hit the roof of a mall in the city of Akko, and a few people were slightly injured. Israel responded with airstrikes on what it said were launch sites in southern Lebanon. Israel and Hezbollah have been fighting a low-grade war since Hezbollah fired on Israel after the start of the war in Gaza last year. Both sides are preparing for the possibility of an all-out war. Kat Lonsdorf, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Voting's underway across the United Kingdom, where Britons are electing a parliament and a prime minister. It's the first election there since Brexit, Britain's exit from the European Union. NPR's Lauren Freyer has more.
Without the EU to fret over, Britons are looking at their own country. And some voters like retiree Nick Bailey say it's broken.
Nothing is working. Everything is going wrong. The health service is taking endless time to treat people. Trains are not running on time.
He's hopeful that polls are right and that the centre-left Labour Party may win a huge mandate, ending 14 years of Conservative Party rule. If Labour wins, the next prime minister would be its leader, Keir Starmer, a human rights lawyer and prosecutor with a knighthood, who's been the leader of the opposition in Parliament for the past 4 years. If polls are right and he does win, he'd meet with the King and then move into 10 Downing Street tomorrow. Lauren Freyer, NPR News, London.
Hurricane Beryl glanced the Cayman Islands with heavy rain and strong winds, and it has weakened a bit. The now Category 3 storm has maximum sustained winds of 115 miles an hour. Earlier, the storm left a trail of destruction in Jamaica, ripping off roofs and damaging or destroying homes and businesses. Power is out to parts of the Caribbean island. Reporter Nick Davis has more from Jamaica.
We're also expecting the power companies to sometimes take down parts of the grid. That didn't need to happen because, you know, the outages happened because of these trees being blown over. So around about, you know, 400,000 people are still without power.
At least 8 deaths are blamed on the storm. Beryl is now heading to Mexico and the Gulf of Mexico. In Northern California, thousands of people have been evacuated as firefighters battle a blaze about 65 miles north of Sacramento. At least 8 firefighters have been injured. The Thompson Fire is near Paradise, where the campfire killed more than 70 people in 2018. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Cigna Healthcare, a health benefits provider that advocates for better health through every stage of life. Learn more at Cigna.com. Good morning. This is KPR, Kansas Public Radio. That was Dudley Buck's Festival Overture on the Star-Spangled Banner with Leonard Slatkin and the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra. In about an hour, listen for John Obetz, organist, play the John Knowles Payne Star-Spangled Banner Concert Variations. And next, we have some very American music, the Grand Canyon Suite on KPR. We're KPR from KU, 91.5 Lawrence and 89.7 Emporia, and always through KansasPublicRadio.org. Well, our first Classics Live for July features a recent Rule Joyce recital of two violists. This fun hour of double viola music sparkles with duets by Stamitz, Bridge, Bartok, and LeClaire. It's tonight at 7 for Classics Live with Shelley Armour and Jesse Yukimura, our duo violists from Kansas City. The Viola Party starts at 7 here on KPR for the next Classics Live. Freddie Grofe wrote his Grand Canyon Suite in 1939, and the four movements of it, as we imagine, are Sunrise, Painted Desert, On the Trail, Sunset, and Cloudburst. by Ferdy Grofe, his Grand Canyon Suite. He wrote it in the 1930s, and he said that although he was born in New York, he tried to forget that after he was 5 years of age. And he had been writing Grand Canyon Suite from notes he had made during his constant visits to the rim of the mighty work of nature. That was Gerard Schwartz's Seattle Symphony Orchestra for some very American music this morning on KPR, Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. And today's support for the music comes from the Cider Gallery, a unique gallery space featuring works by local and regional artists. It's open Fridays 1 to 5 and by appointment. Details at cidergallery.com. This is KPR. There's an American piece by Leon Jessel, Parade of the Little Tin Soldiers, the Dallas Wind Symphony. Some very American music next hour. Jim Barnes' Fifth Symphony. Here on Kansas Public Radio as the classical music continues. Next we have Tommaso Albinoni. Music for a little trumpet, a concerto for piccolo trumpet on KPR. Thank you. You'd think a concerto for piccolo trumpet. The trumpet would sound a little tinnier or a little tinier, but sounded like a regular trumpet to me. Joachim Schaefer with the Bratislava Chamber Soloists for Tommaso Albinoni's concerto for piccolo trumpet from his Opus 7 here on Kansas Public Radio. This is Kansas Public Radio, and thank you for supporting us in what we do with having classical music on in the day and in the evening. You can support our efforts at kansaspublicradio.org. This is KPR from KU, KANU, and KANU HD1, Lawrence, 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City, 91.3, and KANQ Chanute, 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for news next on KPR comes from the Law Office of David J. Brown, LC, in Lawrence, working to help individuals, small businesses, families, and non-traditional families with legal and estate planning needs. Located at 120 East 9th Street in Lawrence. This is KPR.
Live from NPR News in New York City, I'm Duahli Saikautau. President Biden is planning a festive 4th at the White House. The celebrations come as members of his own party are expressing concerns about his campaign after a difficult debate performance. More on this from NPR's Barbara Sprunt.
The President and First Lady are kicking off the holiday with a barbecue with active-duty military service members and their families. They'll then host a 4th of July celebration for military veterans, their families, and caregivers before watching the traditional fireworks display over the National Mall. This comes at a tense political time for President Biden, whose poor debate performance against former President Trump last week sent shockwaves through the Democratic Party and led to calls for him to step down. Since then, he's held a series of closed-door conversations to try to reassure Democrats about his campaign. Barbara Sprent, NPR News, Washington.
In Arizona, temperatures are once again scorching in the triple digits. In Phoenix, the nation's fifth largest city had a record number of deaths last year as a result of extreme heat, more than 600. And this summer, there are already reports of fatalities as a result. Catherine Davis-Young of member station KJZZ says the city and county have been taking steps to try to prevent these tragedies.
A lot of the increase correlates with really fast growth of our homeless population. Unsheltered people make up a large portion of those who die in the heat each year. So there have been major investments at the city, county, and state level in homeless shelters and housing solutions. But more specifically to address heat, the city and county have been looking for ways to offer more access to cool spaces in summer months.
That's Catherine Davis-Young with member station KJZZ in Phoenix. In northern Israel this morning, fires are still burning after Hezbollah launched several hundred rockets and drones from southern Lebanon. The Iranian-backed group claimed it was partially in response to Israel's killing of a senior Hezbollah commander earlier this week. NPR's Kat Lonsdorf reports from Tel Aviv.
Air raid sirens sounded throughout Israel's north as Hezbollah sent what it called a, quote, squadron of assault drones, along with hundreds of rockets towards several Israeli military bases. Israel says most were intercepted, but shrapnel rained down on the area, causing several fires to ignite and spread in the hot, dry climate. Shrapnel also hit the roof of a mall in the city of Akko, and a few people were slightly injured. Israel responded with airstrikes on what it said were launch sites in southern Lebanon. Israel and Hezbollah have been fighting a low-grade war since Hezbollah fired on Israel after the start of the war in Gaza last year. Both sides are preparing for the possibility of an all-out war. Kat Lonsdorf, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
President Biden is expected to speak with Israel's prime minister later today. A source familiar with the plan tells NPR. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Fisher Investments. Fisher's dedicated team of specialists provide resources on investing, retirement income, estate planning, and more. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. Good morning. This is KPR. That was John Obetz at the Auditorium Organ in Independence, Missouri, playing John Noel's Pain, Star-Spangled Banner, Concert Variations. Good morning. This is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, from the University of Kansas. Thanks for last week when you helped us make our goal to raise $25,000 in just a few days to keep classical music strong and on the radio. Thank you so much for donating at kansaspublicradio.org. I'm Cordelia Brown, your classical friend here on KPR. And next we have some American music by James Barnes. He actually had Japan in mind when he wrote this, but he is not only American, he's Kansan, and he's a Lawrencian. He's a professor emeritus of music at the University of Kansas. Here is Jim Barnes' Symphony No. 5, Opus 110, which is nicknamed The Phoenix. The four parts, the four movements, are eulogy, scherzo, reverie, and jubilation.
Thank you.
That's by James Barnes. James Barnes, Opus 110, his Phoenix Symphony, Jim Barnes Symphony No. 5. It had Colonel Toyokazu Nanaka directing the Japan Ground Self-Defense Force Central Band. In that symphony by Jim Barnes, who's a retired professor from the KU Music Department, Kansan and an American. Thanks for listening to KPR. I hope you've enjoyed the music this morning as we celebrate the 4th of July. Remember, you can see the playlists and all the sources online at kansaspublicradio.org. We're Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. That's KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in New York City, I'm Dwahli Saikautau. A third Democrat serving in Congress is publicly calling on President Biden to end his campaign for a second term. Massachusetts Representative Seth Moulton calls for Biden to step aside. This follows the president's shaky debate performance last week. WBUR's John Bender reports.
Moulton praised Biden for his service to the country, but says he has doubts Biden can defeat Donald Trump in November's election. Moulton contends this election is too important to risk failure.
Winning this election is existential for America as we know it today. And so we cannot put that at risk. This is something I think the president understands to his core. He understands what the stakes are in this election. But if he truly understands those stakes, he needs to act.
Moulton joins two fellow House Democrats, one from Texas and another from Arizona, in calling for Biden to allow a different candidate to lead the ticket. For NPR News, I'm John Bender in Boston.
Across the UK, voting is underway as Britons are electing a parliament and prime minister. It's the first election there since Britain's exit from the European Union. From London, NPR's Lauren Freyer reports.
Without the EU to fret over, Britons are looking at their own country. And some voters like retiree Nick Bailey say it's broken.
Nothing is working. Everything is going wrong. The health service is taking endless time to treat people. Trains are not running on time.
He's hopeful that polls are right and that the centre-left Labour Party may win a huge mandate, ending 14 years of Conservative Party rule. If Labour wins, the next prime minister would be its leader, Keir Starmer, a human rights lawyer and prosecutor with a knighthood, who's been the leader of the opposition in Parliament for the past 4 years. If polls are right and he does win, he'd meet with the King and then move into 10 Downing Street tomorrow. Lauren Freyer, NPR News, London.
Two NASA astronauts are spending an unplanned 4th of July holiday aboard the International Space Station due to problems with their spacecraft. As NPR's Jeff Brumfield reports, it's not clear when they'll return home.
Astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams traveled to the station in June aboard Boeing's new Starliner spaceship. The launch went smoothly enough, but when they arrived at the station, several thrusters didn't fire as expected. NASA says it must now conduct extensive testing to understand the thruster problem before it will allow Wilmore and Williams to return. The space agency plans to spend several weeks testing an identical thruster at a New Mexico facility to gather more data. The astronauts were only supposed to be in orbit for a week. They are now indefinitely delayed. They're not on their own, though. Four other Americans and three Russians are also currently working at the space station. Jeff Brumfield, NPR News.
And you are listening to NPR News from New York City.
Support for NPR comes from Fisher Investments. Fisher is committed to helping clients stay on track to reach their financial goals and enjoy a comfortable retirement. FisherInvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate July 4th. It may sound strange to hear during the heat of the summer, but Earth is farthest from the sun for the entire year right now. Our planet is receiving almost 7% less energy from the sun than it did when it was closest to the sun in January. The average distance to the sun is 93 million miles, but the distance varies by about 1.5 million miles in either direction, a result of the eccentricity of Earth's orbit. It defines how lopsided the orbit is, and it varies over cycles of hundreds of thousands of years. The change is caused by the gravitational pull of the other planets. The biggest impact comes from Venus and Jupiter. Venus passes closer to us than any other planet, and Jupiter is the solar system's heaviest planet. So even though it's a long way off, it has a big influence on Earth's orbit. Today, the eccentricity is less than 2%, so Earth's orbit is almost circular. And it's getting even more circular. When the eccentricity is lowest, the distance to the sun will vary by only about 300,000 miles. After that, the orbit will get much more eccentric. It'll peak at almost 6%. That may not sound like a lot, but it's enough to change the amount of sunlight Earth receives over the course of a year by 23%. That difference will have a major impact on Earth's climate, thanks to the influence of the other worlds of the solar system. Today's program was made possible by Mercer Caverns, located in Calaveras County in California's historic gold country. More information at mercercaverns.net. I'm Billy Henry.
Can't have a 4th of July without the music of John Philip Sousa, and there the Liberty Bell March, played by the Eastman Wind Ensemble, led by Frederick Fennell, here on Kansas Public Radio, to welcome you into our noon hour of classical music. It's good to be with you. I'm Jeff Watson, wishing you a happy 4th of July. Music by Antonin Dvorak and French composer Benjamin Goddard. We have violin showpieces, a mazurka by Dvorak, and the second violin concerto of Benjamin Goddard, all just ahead of us. Continuing on with the 4th of July theme, we have some music by Hungarian composer Ernst von Dohnányi, something that was written in 1953 during his time as a professor at Florida State University, something that makes use of some traditional American folk tunes. It's his American Rhapsody. Conductor John Ferrer and the English Symphonia take it from here on Kansas Public Radio. Thank you.
Thank you.